Ephesians 3:19. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Ephesians 3:19. 1 John 5:11. God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. 1 John 5:11. Ephesians 3:17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Ephesians 3:17. Would you open your Bibles this evening, please, to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. We're going to spend a few moments in prayer before we begin our study this evening, realizing, as always, the importance of being in right relationship with our Savior as we study His Word. The power of the Holy Spirit in relationship to life, the power of the Holy Spirit in relationship to the human spirit, and tonight the power of the Holy Spirit in relationship to human victory. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 gives us the answer to the question, how does the Holy Spirit work in the believer's life in relationship to victory? May we bow for a moment of prayer, please. Father, we're thankful this evening for the privilege which is ours, once again, to open our minds and hearts to the magnificent truths of your word. We're here tonight again to advance and grow in grace and knowledge. Help us to do that. Help us to be determined in our hearts on a daily basis that we're going to have Jesus Christ preeminent in our lives and that we will advance and grow in His matchless grace on a day-by-day basis. We're thankful for your grace in salvation, grace by which to live each day, and the grace that will eventually take us home. And so tonight we are appreciative of the fact that you care for us and that you've blessed us in so many ways. We pray that you will guide us in these moments of study. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Each week I receive from the First Baptist Church of Amarillo their church directory or church bulletin. I'm always looking forward to what Dr. Howard Batson has to say in the little column that he presents. This week I read Dear Church Family. Henry Alfred English, pastor and church leader, was born into a family that gave England five generations of clergymen. He graduated from Trinity College, Cambridge, a splendid writer, a splendid preacher. Henry Alfred was Dean of Canterbury from 1857 until his death in 1871. He's buried there. His epitaph reads, "The end of a traveler on his way to Jerusalem." I want you to be sure that you hear and see what was placed on that tombstone. The tombstone of Dr. Henry Alfred English says, "The end, I-N-N, of a traveler on his way to Jerusalem." I thought how wonderful. Most of you are aware of the fact that on tombstones, various inscriptions are placed. This one I thought was quite unique when it says, the end, I-N-N, of a traveler on his way to Jerusalem. To which Dr. Batson said, as we grow older, we begin to realize that we're on a journey to Jerusalem. When we're younger, a lifetime seems an eternity. When we're older, we realize that this is not our home, only a stopping along the way. Then he adds, make your decisions every day as if you're a pilgrim passing through. It will change everything you do. As we grow older, we begin to realize that we are on a journey to Jerusalem. When we're younger, a lifetime seems an eternity. When we're older, We realize that this is not our home, only a stopping along the way. And then he adds, and I repeat, make your decisions every day as if you're a pilgrim passing through. It will change everything you do. Most of you have seen this diagram many, many, many times. You may not be able to see it clearly from where you're sitting, and that's okay. I want you to get a mental picture that we've given you this diagram, which describes the divine power sphere, the interlocking systems of love, the love system. We've called this with different titles over the years. This is an emphasis upon the believer's life. This, I believe, reminds us of the fact that life at the longest is extremely short, and we're to emphasize the importance of a right relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though you may not be able to see it clearly from where you're sitting, I want to point out some things, and I will give you information. We have 8 steps in the divine dynasphere. We have 8 steps in what we call the love system. And it begins with the filling of the Holy Spirit, or restoration to fellowship. You and I are of the opinion, and we should be aware, that God wants us to have joy and peace and happiness on a day-by-day basis. Since we've been born into His kingdom, we are members of the royal family. As the Bible says, we're heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. That means that we're saved and heaven-bound. One of these days, we'll breathe our last breath. Our heart will beat for its last time. We'll be absent from this body, and we'll be in the presence of our Savior throughout eternity. Tonight, I want you to see how important it is for us to take a look at life from the standpoint that we're only here for a little time at the longest. I read today that life is designed, and the Bible says 70. And if you'll add that up, you'll discover that some of us have already exceeded that. So I want you to realize that life at the longest is extremely short. And we're told now that life is being extended because of all the different things that are taking place technologically. But we are told that probably now, and I read today, that if a person lives their normal life, they'll live to be about 80. Well, I closed the page right quick and went on to read something else. I just want you to see that the Lord has a plan for us, that we're not going to be here until we're not going to be here as long as He has a plan. We're going to be here as long as He has a plan for us, and we're not going to be here when He has the time for us to leave this life. I thought that was kind of humorous, but anyway, I noticed that you thought it was also. First of all, we have to understand that we're, as believers, to live inside this love system. The love system is a system where God has us joyful, triumphant, victorious. And the verse of Scripture that we're studying tonight is going to reveal to us how all this is possible. But what I'm trying to give you, before we get to that verse of Scripture, the various aspects and steps of the divine power sphere. The first one is the filling of the Holy Spirit. And if we are out of fellowship, we need to be restored to fellowship. And that's step number one. Step number two is basic and personal love, which we have studied in the past, which is a relaxed mental attitude. Step three is humility, which involves enforced humility, organizational humility, and genuine humility. I'm not going to be reiterating all of these points. I'm just trying to let you see that when you get to step four, it's an emphasis upon perception and application of the Word of God. And there's where we are tonight in our particular verse of Scripture, which is 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. May I remind you that when you get to step 4 in your life in advancing, it is then that you will be able to have an appreciation for these other steps, which is step 5, 6, 7, and 8, which includes 1, love for the Heavenly Father, a right relationship with Him on a continual basis, a right relationship with a companion, if you're blessed and have a companion, and then a right relationship with your friends, with a love for friends, which is an impersonal love for them. And then the last step is described by the Greek word chara, C-H-A-R-A, which is the word translated joy, and we translate that word happiness. Now tonight I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you will, please, to 2 Peter 3:18. And we're going to look at this verse scripture, first of all, exegetically, and then we're going to analyze some things about this verse. Most of you have memorized this verse. If you haven't, do so, please. 2 Peter 3:18. Most of us have learned it like this: grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory now and forever. Most of you have learned that verse and you've memorized the first part of it: grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let me take you for a few moments and let you look at some unique words that this verse presents to us in the original language. The very first word, which is not the one that is translated from the original language, because the original language, the verb comes first. But we have, but you grow. And so we have the verb coming first. And then we have day, which is the word for but. And then in, which is a little preposition. And then the word grace. So we're going to stop and look at this and let you see that the first word in the original text is the word grace. The interesting thing about this word is, it is, as you can see, the Greek auxano, auxano. Let's stop for a moment and look at that and see how the word is used. Grace, then you grow, and how do you grow? We're told by the Spirit of God to give us a command. Grow, and there's the word for to advance, but grow in grace. We have, and I made a mistake by telling you that the first word was grow, the first word, but the first word is not grace, but the first word is grow. So grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We'll pause now and let us look at this word grow, which is the first word in the verse. How is that word used? And I notice that the way the word is used, it is in the Greek an imperative verb. The imperative verb is a verb of command. So we have to understand that the very first emphasis here is that God is giving a command to the believer to grow, and it is imperative that we do so. Then you'll notice that the verb is a present tense, which means continuous action, that we're to keep on growing. And then the active voice says the subject produces the action. This is saying then that no one can grow in the Christian life for you but you. No one can grow in the Christian life for me than myself. So here's a command: grow in grace and in knowledge of our Savior, Jesus Christ. All of you over the years have heard me say that when you come to a word Yesu, it's the word for Jesus. When you come to the word Kyrios, it is the word Lord. And we find very interesting words, Lord, Jesus, and then the word Christos, which is the word for Christ. Now, most of you have heard me say many, many times that when Jesus is presented, the word Jesus, Yesu, is the word that emphasizes his humanity. When you see the word Christos, it is the word which emphasizes the fact that he's the appointed one or the anointed one. We have an emphasis then upon Lord, which emphasizes the fact that he's the ruler. Now, what I want you to see about this verse is that we do not have Lord Jesus Christ. We have another word listed here. So I want you to follow me and let's look at it. But you grow in grace and knowledge. Then we have, and follow me along, you can look at the back of your bulletin and see this. It says, of our Lord. There is the article to, Kyrios, the Lord of us. Then you have the little conjunction, chi, and. Now notice, here we have Jesus, Christ, there's the word Lord, but here we have another word, which is S-O-T-E-R-O-S, soterios. Most of us have learned in the past that the word Greek word soterios is the word from which we get soteriology. Soteriology emphasizes the doctrines related to salvation. Now you're following along and you're learning some things. Let's see what it says. Grow, but you grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord, the Lord of us, and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's beautiful to see how unique this particular verse is given to us. We have the responsibility of growing in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And then we'll just look at this last part very briefly. It says, to him the glory, both now and forever. And I need to point out to you that the word forever here is made up of two words. One of those is hamerol, which is the word for day, and the other is aeon, which means forever. So it's translated, and now, day, forever, a day forever. Please follow me now as I begin to share with you some most important facts about how the Lord wants us to grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. We have to make decisions. I'll see if I can put this in such a way that you can see it. As a believer in Jesus Christ, number one, we must decide every day which way we're going to go, which way we're going to live our lives. In other words, every morning when you awake, you can thank God that he's given you another day. And if he allows you to live throughout that day, you are to be thankful, and I'm to be thankful that he's given us a day. And so we have to make a decision, and we make a decision constantly throughout the day to decide which way we're going to live our lives. We're going to either live our lives in harmony and in fellowship with Jesus Christ, or out of harmony and not in fellowship with Jesus Christ. So every day then, number two, we either choose to live in the divine system or we live in the cosmic system. And you'll notice that I put there's no in between. In other words, we're either living in fellowship with the Lord or we're not in fellowship with the Lord. If we're in fellowship with him, that simply means that we have admitted and confessed in our faults and failures and sins. We're cleansed of sin, we're filled with the Holy Spirit, and he directs us moment by moment. That's the reason why it's important for us to understand the importance of being in harmony with the Lord on a continual basis. Now, some of you are saying, well, it's impossible for me to live my entire day in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's just something that happens to me. My old sin nature gets in charge, and I find myself not in harmony with the Lord. My answer to that particular question that you may have, you may say, what am I to do? And my answer to that is, realize that you and I have a responsibility to choose to live moment by moment in the divine power sphere and not in the cosmic power sphere. Now, let me go to number three quickly. Life in the divine dynasphere means historical uptrends for the client nation. We're living in the United States of America. We are believers living in this great country. We are believers living in the great state of Texas. Believe it or not, we're believers living in this community. And so God has a plan for us to live our lives in such a way that the life influence will be to build up or uptrend the consideration of our nation, of our state, of our community. So what I'm saying here is that when we live our lives in the divine power sphere, it means historical uptrends to the client nation, as well as spiritual advance for ourselves as a believer. Now look at that, and please don't miss it. You and I have the responsibility to make our world, our nation, our state, our community, a better place to live. Number four, life in the cosmic system, the satanic system, means historical downtrends for the client nation, as well as spiritual failure, which means cursing by association to this client nation. I think what we need to do is be able to see that our individual life makes a difference. We must be able to see tonight that you and I have an influence on other individuals. Wherever you may work, wherever you may find yourself on a daily basis, you have the responsibility of being an influence for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you choose to live outside of the plan of God, not in harmony, not in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that means that you're living in the CS, the cosmic system. And what that does is it contributes to the downtrends for our nation. But not only that, it is contributing to our own individual personal failure, which means then that we become a curse in relationship to the association to our friends, our loved ones, to our city, to our state, to our nation, to our world. What I'm trying to get you to see tonight is that this verse of Scripture emphasizes the importance of us growing in grace and knowledge of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Number five, residence in the divine dynasphere brings blessings. You may want to write this down. It may be old hat to you. Maybe you've heard this so many times that you say, I've heard that before. But let me tell you this for sure. Tonight, residence in the divine dynasphere brings blessings. If you and I choose to live in proper relationship to Jesus Christ on a day-by-day basis, our residence in that divine dynasphere will bring blessings not only to our own individual lives, but to those with whom we come in contact on a daily basis. That takes me to number six. Residence in the cosmic system brings disaster. There are many people today who are living frustrated, confused, bewildered lives. And the reason is some of those individuals are believers in Jesus Christ, but they're not living in harmony with the Lord. And as a result of that, they find themselves on a daily basis frustrated, confused, and perplexed. Number seven, information received while out of fellowship has no motivation value. Now I want to get down to where we live at this very moment. While we're in this auditorium tonight, you and I can be either in fellowship or out of fellowship. But I'm not going to say that I can look at you and tell you that you're the one out of fellowship and that you're the one in fellowship. It's not my responsibility to do that. It is my responsibility to tell all of us that if we're in fellowship with the Lord, as the Word of God is being proclaimed, we'll be benefited thereby. But I want to show you something else. If we're receiving information tonight while we're out of fellowship, then there's no motivation value to that information, which simply means we can hear without hearing. Sometimes we hear without really hearing, or sometimes we hear and we really hear. If we are in fellowship with the Lord, we're cleansed of sin, and the Word of God is being proclaimed, we hear and we are able to really hear, which simply means that that Word is then applicable or applicable so that we can use it on a day-by-day basis. Let's go quickly to number eight. Only truth learned in the divine dynasphere results in spiritual momentum. That simply means that while we're listening to the Word of God being proclaimed, we're in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is truth that is being received, and it makes for us the ability to advance spiritual momentum. That's the reason why when you go to Revelation chapter 2, verse 16, it says, reside in the divine dynasphere, or else I will soon visit you with loving correction. That's an interesting passage, isn't it? In Revelation 2:16, stay inside of the power sphere, which is divine, or I will soon visit you with correction, if in fact, if necessary, intense chastisement. You're listening well, but now let's move on. I want you to see something else. God has a plan for your life and mine. And the major thing that I want you to see in human victory is what I call confident anticipation. At the point of salvation, we are not able to see all the blessings that God has designed for us for maturity. Now, first of all, I want you to see that when a person becomes a believer, they are a baby believer. Then if they grow in advance, they move through various stages, adolescence, youth, adulthood, super advancement. As we grow, we advance on a day-by-day basis. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Corinthian believers, and said, I desire to give you some spiritual stakes, but you haven't grown enough. And so what you have to do is be the recipient of a spiritual bottle. Now, what the Lord is saying through the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians, that he doesn't want us to remain babies. It's okay to be a baby. I want you to know we have a precious baby here, and it's wonderful to be a baby. But I promise you that 20 years from now, if that baby looks like, it acts like, and is the same as he is at this moment, it would not be victory or triumph. You see what I'm saying? In other words, it's wonderful to be a baby, but it's sad to stay a baby. And it's wonderful to be a baby Christian, but it's sad to remain a baby Christian. That's the reason why we have this verse of Scripture, plus many others. But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, at the salvation, we're not able to understand or comprehend the blessings that await us as we advance spiritually. So look at that statement. At salvation, we are not able to see the blessings of maturity. The blessings of imputed righteousness gives us hope of having these blessings. Now, what I want you to see there, at the point that you accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit of God worked the miracle of regeneration, and you became a member of God's family. At that time, a little baby, you were not able to comprehend or understand that God had great blessings in store for you as you reached maturity. But at the time that you were saved, you became the recipient of imputed righteousness, which gives us a hope, which gives us anticipation, which gives us the ability to look forward to the time when we would be the recipient of these great blessings of spiritual advance. At maturity, number three, we do not see the blessings of eternity, but imputed blessings gives us confident anticipation. It seems like I'm constantly being called upon to communicate at memorial services. And the other day, I was called on again this week to communicate at a memorial service. The man lived to be 91 years of age. I remember him very well. I saw him when he became an enthusiastic, dynamic, evangelistic believer years ago. And I can tell you that his sons even said that some people thought that he was kind of obnoxious. He was such a Christian who talks about the Lord all the time. I was impressed with him then and lost track of him for a few years. And then the sons got in touch with me to preach his memorial service. I want you to know that I was able to say, it's fantastic to see how great it is for a person to know Jesus Christ and then come to the point where at any age, whatever the age is, they breathe their last breath, their heart ticks for the last time, they're absent from this body and at home with the Lord. And I was able to tell the loved ones and the family there that he's not here. We have a body here, but he's not here, because the Scripture says to be a born-again believer and leave this life, we're absent from the body and at home with the Lord. What I'm trying to tell you is, tonight I'm not able to describe for you, because I don't have all the information about heaven and what heaven's like. I really don't. The more I study God's Word, the more I appreciate the fact that I'm going to be there one of these days. But if you ask me to describe for you what heaven's really like, Isn't it interesting that the Lord has allowed us to live and study the Word, but He hasn't given us a lot of information because we're inquisitive, aren't we? We would like to know a lot of things we don't know tonight about heaven. But I want you to see that when a person grows and advances as a believer, even to the point when we are what we would classify as an advanced believer, we still do not have the ability to comprehend or see the blessings of eternity. So you see my point here. At maturity, we do not see the blessings of eternity. Up here at salvation, we cannot see the blessings of maturity. When we reach the point of maturity, we're not able to receive and know the blessings in relationship to what it's going to be like when we're in heaven. But we understand some things. Imputed righteousness is the hope for blessings in time. And knowing one of these days it will receive a resurrection body, and the resurrection body will be the hope for blessings in eternity. If you're following carefully tonight, you're able to see some things. Imputed righteousness results in hope. Now, what does the Scripture say about what the Holy Spirit does for us when we're saved? You're not going to have time to take this down. And some of you are going to be confused in a few moments because I'm going to move this paper from the screen rapidly. But I want you to know that the Holy Spirit does something very special for us in salvation. We're made members of His body, 1 Corinthians 12:13. We're made a branch in the vine, John 15:5. We're made a stone in the building, Ephesians 2:21 and 22. We're made a sheep in the flock, Ephesians 2:21 and 22. We're made a part of His bride, Ephesians 5:25 to 27. We're made a priest in His kingdom, 1 Peter 2:9. We're made a saint in a new species, 2 Corinthians 5:17. And we're united with the Holy Spirit in Romans 8:9 and 8:29. Some of you are taking notes so rapidly, you're saying, please don't move it. So I'm going to repeat it. Salvation, what does the Holy Spirit do for us? At salvation, we're made a member of the body of Christ, a branch in the vine, a stone in the building, a sheep in the flock, a part of His bride, a priest in His kingdom, a saint of the new species, and we're united with the Holy Spirit. Let me close tonight by giving you point eight of the divine dynasphere. It's called happiness. If you'll notice that we pointed this out to you, step one, two, three, four. Step four was perception and application of God's Word, which simply means that if we'll do what our Scripture for tonight says, grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, we're going to get over here to a point where we're perceptive to God's Word. And as we're perceptive to God's Word, we're going to advance all the way over to the point of continual happiness in life. Notice, in the cosmic system, a believer will never experience true happiness. Please put that down. In the cosmic system, a believer will never experience true happiness. Number two, each one of these steps that we pointed out earlier, each gate or each step in the divine dynasphere produces a certain degree of happiness. If we're able to study God's Word and look at each one of these steps, we're going to be able to see that each one gives to us a greater degree of happiness. Number three, when virtue is manifested in the believer's soul, it becomes a byproduct of happiness, and the happiness will continue to increase. When virtue is manifested in the believer's soul as a byproduct, happiness will occur. Number four, virtue and happiness go together. Number five, residing in God's system produces a foundation of happiness regardless of whatever takes place on a daily basis. I want you to see how important number five is. Residing in the divine power sphere, growing in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, produces the foundation of happiness regardless of the circumstances of life. Some of you tonight may be involved in various burdens and trials and tests and difficulties. Whatever the situation is, as a believer growing in grace and knowledge, you'll be able to see from a divine vertical viewpoint these circumstances of life. So point five is such an important one. Residing in this system, staying in God's system, produces a foundation of happiness regardless of the circumstances. And then the last point, degrees of happiness will be manifested in the believer's life when that believer reaches number four, which is perception and application of God's Word. Now, what can I do tonight? I can close. That's a good thing to do by asking you again to look at our verse of Scripture, 2 Peter 3:18. Grow, that's the first word, grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please look again. The word grow means that God is giving us a command, imperative verb. Grow. Do it on a day-by-day basis. You're the only one who can do it for yourself. No one else can do it for you. Your husband, your wife, your mother, your dad, your sons, your daughters. No one can grow and advance for you but you. Grow in grace and knowledge. Look of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I see all facets, all phases of Jesus Christ. Not only Lord, ruler, master, Jesus, the humanity of Jesus Christ, Christ, the appointed one, the anointed one, and Savior. Soteriology, the emphasis upon the fact that Jesus Christ is the only one that brings salvation to mankind. May we bow for a moment of prayer. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege of reviewing these magnificent truths. We're aware of the fact that we have the responsibility, since we're only passing through this life. This is not our home. We're just passing through. We're able to see that our responsibility is to grow in grace and knowledge of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. For those who may hear this message who've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, we pray that they will understand that God loves the world so much, and that Christ was willing to come to this earth and go to the cross and die on the cross for the sins of mankind, be buried, come forth out of the grave, and ascend to sit at the Father's right hand. And we realize in the light of all of this that Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. This tells us very plainly that there's only one way of salvation, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the way to be saved is to do what God's Word says. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. We pray that there will be those who will do that. They will accept you as their own personal Lord and Savior at this very moment. And we thank you over and over again for your wonderful grace blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.
be pleasing to you, pleasing to you. Pleasing to you, pleasing.